When I was a child, we lived here in East Belfast, but our hearts were further south in County Down, where my father and mother had both grown up on farms and where most of the family circle still were working farmers. Some of my earliest memories are of the weekly trip on the old Belfast and County Down Railway down to Crossgar, and I've dated myself obviously by telling you that. But we went to the country every weekend. We never went for holidays anywhere except down to the farm to stay, and on one occasion we were there for 3 months when my father was ill. And I could bore you with memories of farming life way back in the late 40s and 50s, but I'll not. All I want to say is this. I grew up as a child, and I knew where milk came from because I saw the cows being milked. I knew where eggs came from because I gathered eggs with my aunts. I knew that soup vegetables came from a drill in one of the nearby fields. And I knew where potatoes came from. I knew where food came from. And anything that didn't come from the farm itself came from Taylor's shop in Crossgar, which had a wonderful smell that I would give anything to be able to recover from sacks of this and sacks of that. As a child, I wasn't in danger of being divorced from the reality of the harvest Thanksgiving. My mother even brought a sheaf of oats from the farm to decorate the church every October. And that's how I grew up. How do children grow up today? Children grow up today divorced from all of that, living in an artificial, man-made world where all these things come from the supermarket and they've never probably seen a cow or never felt a warm egg just dropped from the hen. Today we are separated from the world of direct dependence on the seasons. We don't really understand the forces of nature that dominated the lives of those who went before us. We don't relate our own work directly to the food we eat. Our own work is to earn money. We live in a world of man-made artifacts. Our harvest is more likely to be the arrival of the monthly salary check, or in the case of many of us, the monthly pension check, or the yield of any investments that we have. The world we live in today and the world that our children and grandchildren grow up in is an unreal, artificial world, which I think is ultimately unhealthy and dehumanizing. And we need to recover a sense of human dependence and to learn again to see the hand of God in everything and to give thanks. And that's the first point I want to make with you this morning. Just give thanks. That's why we're here today. And that's the purpose of a Harvest Thanksgiving. There are a lot of churches now that play down the Harvest Thanksgiving or don't even have one. But I think it's good that we take this opportunity just to stand back and to contemplate the good things that we have, not to take things like food for granted, but to give thanks to God for the planet we live in, for His providence, for everything. We had read for us those lovely words from Psalm 65, where the psalmist says to God, "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. You drench its furrows, level its ridges." And so it goes on, and the psalmist says, "You crown the year with your bounty." Now, living as we now do in a farming community, we've seen that this year, for farmers has been crowned with bounty. The harvest is safely gathered in. There is more silage gathered in. We have a bale of straw. You wouldn't want a bale of silage in the church this morning. It might become somewhat offensive. As you realize when you sit in church in a country district and you're sitting beside a farmer and as the heat rises, there's plenty gathered in. But food is sacred. Food is sacred. Don't take it for granted. It's basic. It's elemental. It is God's gift. And if we're further removed from the origins of what we eat, then let's give thanks for the health that enables us to earn our living, or did enable us to earn our living and pile up that pension. What do we have that we didn't receive? Nothing. And we can't take the stability of the economic system in which we live for granted, because everything that we have, we are actually very vulnerable people. Those who farm the land at least grow their own food. We don't. We depend on a vast web of commerce and economics. And if that were to crumble for some reason, we would be very, very vulnerable. We need to be thoughtful and grateful, because every one of us, even the poorest of us, is incredibly rich by the average of the world we live in. And by historical standards, we are rich compared to what our ancestors had. We are better fed, better housed, better cared for medically than all the generations that went before us. And I doubt if any one of us has ever known real starvation. And so we need to live sensitively in the world, in a world whose resources are limited, where we Westerners consume more than our fair share. God has caused our lives to fall in an incredibly good place. A minister in Scotland was preaching on the temptations of Jesus, where the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world. With a flourish, he asked, "What would you say if someone offered you everything in the world you ever wanted?" Rhetorical questions are dangerous, and a little voice from a child in the congregation answered, "I would say thank you." Thank you. That's why we're here. A thankful heart is a cheerful heart, and a cheerful heart is good medicine. So today, we give thanks. But let's move on to the second passage of Scripture I want to look at, which asks us to give thought. Give thought. What if? What if? There's a story about a woman who spent her life troubled, deeply troubled and worried about all kinds of things which never happened. Maybe you're one of those. There was a lady very close to me, and I always used to say to her, "You're never happy unless you have something to worry about." But what if? What if the stock market were to go bust and the economy collapse? Well, we came near to that a few years ago. What if, and I think of myself, what if the pension fund went bankrupt? And then the government went broke too. And we were near to that. What if the shops were empty and there was no food to buy even if you had money? What if unemployment soared and almost no one had a real job, and those that did rarely got their pay? What if an enemy air force were bombing you, bombing our city, and our homes were being reduced to rubble? What if your teenage children were being taken away to fight in some hopeless, pointless slaughter? What if? Well, all these things, have either happened in this country within the last 100 years or are happening somewhere in the world today. What if? life in this world is actually very insecure, and we don't realize in the abnormality in which we live in this society how insecure. But if everything was taken away, what would you have left? In Old Testament times, which were very turbulent and uncertain, Habakkuk the prophet thought about that question. And here is what he said. He said, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. What if? Well, Habakkuk says, yep, even if agriculture fails, and agriculture was the staple of that community, everyone farmed. And even if there are no crops and the animals all die, I still have my faith in the Lord. And I can rejoice in God because He doesn't go away. He is the one thing that can never be taken away. You see, Habakkuk had three things that he talks about here. He had, first of all, a liberty from material things. He wasn't bound to his possessions, as so many of us in Western societies are. Western society is materialistic. And even those of us who are Christians and who read our New Testaments and read the words of Jesus, it soaks and seeps into us. And it is so very easy to become possessed by your possessions. Habakkuk was a man of faith. And he learned to live above that level. Habakkuk had, secondly, he had a joy that was independent of material things. He knew that his happiness didn't depend, his ultimate happiness didn't depend on the things around him, on how things were going. His ultimate happiness depended on his relationship with the living God. And he knew what it was to still be able to praise God even when things weren't going well. That's something to learn. I've learned in life that when life didn't go the way I wanted it, still to praise God. Because I very often find out that when the script didn't run according to my script, I discovered that God was doing something better for me than I would have done for myself. And it's good to give thanks at all times. And Habakkuk, thirdly, had a life that was beyond material things. His life was in God. So the people of this world see nothing beyond what's here and what they have. You know, you've only to read the media, to watch television, to follow the whole cult of celebrity, to realize that people are just on the make, and there is little else matters to so many of them, so empty, so shallow. But Habakkuk was a man who knew that life was more. As Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his or her possessions. Things are not enough to satisfy us. We have hungers that things can never satisfy. We need a spiritual life if we're to find what our hearts cry for. We need something that will outlast this life's uncertainties. Eternity is in our hearts, and we yearn for the eternal. We need something that will help us to get things into perspective and not become possessed by the things we own. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, you must be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives life to spirit. And that's what we need to find. We need to find that in Jesus. To find the Spirit of God within our hearts, so that there is a life within us that is more than the life that we get physically in this world. A life that brings joy and peace and enables us to interpret life in a completely different way, so that we're freed to really be human, to live the life of giving ourselves away that Jesus calls us to. You know, someday everything will be stripped away, like the man in that second Bible reading, who we call the rich fool, because that brings us to the third and final point. We have to give God first place. Jesus told this parable of the rich fool. And I'll not take time to read it again. It's a good harvest story. It's a story I'm sure that you've heard other harvest Thanksgiving sermons on. Look at this man. He had affluenza. He'd had a bumper harvest. He didn't know what to do with all the grain that he had and all that was flowing. And he thought to himself, here's my pension fund. Here's a wonderful pension fund. I can store this up and I'll have enough to live and to eat and drink and enjoy myself for years and years. But he made three mistakes. The first was that he was not thankful. He never considered where this came from. He didn't look higher than himself. He had no concept of God's providence or God's gifts. He was utterly self-centered. The whole story is full of personal pronouns. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. There's no thought that this had been given to him, that this was a trust, or even that it came from God. And it's very easy to slip into living in that kind of careless way. He wasn't thankful, nor was he thoughtful. Nor was he thoughtful. There's a little quotation that I found from an Arab Christian written many centuries ago, which just said he didn't think what good he could have done with all of this, how he could have helped the poor. No. All he thought about was himself. The me generation. That's in what we live in. The me generation. Get as much as you can. Have every experience. Enjoy every pleasure you can. Because you only pass this way once. And there's nothing beyond. So people think. This guy was not thoughtful. But above all, he was not ready. He was not ready. He was not ready for the call that came to him in the night, where God said, fool, fool, you're not thankful, you're not thoughtful, you're just wrapped up in yourself. And tonight, it comes to an end. And then all these things will belong to somebody else. He's done nothing for them. He was not ready. What does it mean to be ready? Well, if you're ready for that call, you have come alive to God. You've got God in the right place as the one you love, as the one you trust. You've got Jesus in the right place as the one who you know died for your sins and selfishness. You've got the Holy Spirit in the right place, in your heart, bringing life to you. And you can be thankful, and you can be thoughtful, and you can be ready for that day, because you've learned to love God, and you've learned to love other people, and to do good with what God has given you. You've learned not to be an ascetic who doesn't value material things. They're a gift. We need them. They're God's gift to us. But they're a trust, a stewardship. And you've learned to love Jesus. One of my most vivid memories of winter in the countryside as a child was the day when the threshing machine arrived, complete with all the men in the neighborhood gathering round to work at it. And the carefully built and thatched stacks in the stackyard of the oat sheaves were torn down, and the sheaves were fed into this pulsating machine with its jaws going up and down. And from a channel in the side, a river of grain poured out. And from the back, there also rained out the broken straw and the husks. They'd grown together for months. They'd waited under the thatch in the stackyard, and finally, the day of judgment, they were parted. Judgment had come. And that's true of us. That's true of us. We are answerable for our lives. It's a sobering thought. And those who have much are more answerable than those who have little. The more privilege we have, the more responsibility we have. What are we becoming? As we live in the abundance of harvest, of the harvest of this world, that we enjoy an enormous share of, what are we becoming? Are we becoming like Habakkuk, who can live with material things but live above them? Live with God? Or are we becoming like the rich fool who was possessed by selfishness? Or are we letting Jesus transform us and make us thankful and thoughtful people, and above all, ready for God, ready for anything that God brings to us, and above all, ready for that day when God calls us and the story's at an end as far as this world is concerned. I confess that as a Christian, and I came to Jesus when I was about 17, I confess that I'm still learning to work out what following Christ means, what it means in a world that is bewitched by owning things, a world in which I'm immersed, and I'm part of it. And it seeps into me. And I'm trying to work out what it means to follow Jesus, who had this most radical answer in the gospel. But I know this. I know how empty life, lived just in a material world, how empty it is without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit of Christ living in me. And whatever we get, whatever we give thanks for on this Harvest Sunday, the one thing we must get is to get Jesus, to get his peace, to get spiritual life in him that will enable us to be not just materialists, but the kind of living, loving, kind and generous, believing, thankful people he wants us to be. Let's pray together. Father, write your word upon our hearts. As we give thanks today, shake us, stir us, and grant that we may know you, the living God, as the greatest of our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.